The series this morning on love, how to teach your children to love, and how we teach one another to love. And you may want to turn to John chapter 21. It'll be one of the primary passages this morning. We'll get to that in a moment. God never had to learn to love. He has always loved. And before there was time and before there was space, God was love. Scripture says God is love, and that's an eternal is, an eternal present is. But we, his children, we do have to learn to love in order to love like God. We know something of the feeling of love. We have all experienced that. Our Heavenly Father wants us to learn godly love. Without God's training to love, we will have only feelings that are earthly and sensual, that are substitutes of real love. Nothing says you are a child of God like loving God and loving others. There's nothing more convincing that you're a child of God but that you experience and practice love. Godly love, however, must be learned. A little boy was walking with his mom past a pet store one day. In the window were some new puppies, and they were all cuddled together. And she noticed that of the 12 puppies that were there, two of them were on the outskirts of the little huddle, and they were shivering. And the little boy brightened as he came there, and he looked down in the cardboard box. And he said, "Look, Mommy, how they all love one another. They are cuddling." But Mom responded, "Well, maybe they're cold and they're just trying to stay warm." And when we look deeper than the sentimental, we may find intentions and motives that are not real love. Then what is God's kind of love? What is different about God's love than what the world talks about when it claims love and has feelings of love? Well, in a word, love is giving. The world's love is about getting. That's the contrast. God's love sacrifices. Selfish love, the way of the world, is manipulating. And manipulating love looks benevolent, but in reality, it's self-serving. The Greeks identified five different words for love. The first is agape, or unconditional love. And then there is phileo, or brotherly love. And then the third one is storge, or belonging love. And the fourth is eros, you've heard of it before. And it's treasure love. And then the last one is epipatheo, which means intense desire and passion. Five different kinds of love, or I should say five levels of love, each going to a higher level of maturity. Not all grades of love are the same. For instance, I may say that I love donuts, but is that the same thing as you saying you love your spouse? Obviously not. There are different shades and different levels of love, and sometimes you may be talking about pleasure. And at other times, you may be talking about being caring or being cared for. The world, the old nature in me, and the devil all produce a selfish, simulated love that is not the love of God. When each of us came into the world, we cared only about ourselves. We wanted what we wanted when we wanted it. It's the nature of children. And we tend to love ourselves. But selfish love eventually becomes destructive and wicked, deceitful and manipulative. So too is Satan. Satan is the ultimate me first person. And this is why we must teach our children and one another what divine love is. It's distinctive. How to practice it and know it. Because God's love saves. Earthly, sensual love destroys. Now, let's begin looking at these five. We can come to begin to love God only when we meet the first prerequisite before the first love comes, and that is we have to learn to respect. And respect must be taught to children, and respect must be taught to new spiritual children. The world's love separates people. We respect every person, and you know why? It's because every person is made in the image of God. That's why we respect every person. And this is why we fight for life, because all human life is stamped with the image of God. Murder destroys God in effigy. When we take a life, we are actually taking the image of God out of society. Because to kill a human is to kill God in effigy. God's love starts with valuing human life. And I'm talking about all human life. We teach our children to begin to love like God loves when we first teach them how to respect. Respect life, respect God, and respect all the authorities that God has put into place. We highly value these things. In fact, respect for human life and respect for authority is the very prerequisite of godly love. Now, after we learn to place high value on human life and due authorities from God, then, at that point, we are ready to learn the first level of godly love. And that first level of godly love is called agape, unconditional love. This is the most commonly used love word in the Bible, because agape love is the divine love that appears in the Bible the most. As a matter of fact, the word agape appears in the New Testament 115 times. It demands nothing and it expects nothing in return. It is unconditional. It is giving and not expecting return. One of the interesting things about unconditional love is it's universal. We teach our children and we teach new believers that God wants you to love every person that's living, no matter what their religion, no matter what their creed, no matter what their ethnicity. God said that we ought to love the whole world. And so agape love is universal love as well as unconditional love. God loves us and He extends this to all people. You are familiar with this verse. For God so loved the world, and that word there is agape. For God so loved the world that's the entire world of people, by the way, that He gave, that's what love is, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There is no religious work requirement in that. It is simply to believe that you get eternal life. You see, my beloved, agape love is unconditional and it's free. No work is required. It is divine. It comes from God. It is universal, extends to the whole world. And this is why we are taught by God and we teach our children to love everyone, because God loves everyone. If someone is offering you love, but that love is conditional, that's not agape love. I will love you if is not God's kind of love. Agape love has no if. It's simply that you believe. You do no work. You do no condition. You simply believe. This is how God saves. And they are just like puppies in a box looking to get something from you if it's conditional. But Jesus loves unconditionally. Now, it's important to understand also that we grow in love like God when we have another kind of love, a second kind of love. And this is progressively taught. Now, understand what I'm saying. First, you must be able to respect everyone. You cannot love anyone you don't respect. But then you build upon that unconditional love. And so when people come into the church family, though we don't know their background, we don't know much about them, we love them fully and unconditionally. And we love everyone in the world, and we teach that. But then comes this second kind of love. We could call it brotherly love. This dimension of godly love appears in the Bible under the word phileo. This is the basis of the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Godly love that comes from this higher level of divine love adds a sense of family cohesiveness to the unconditional love. Jesus demonstrated this in John chapter 21. Remember that Peter, whom Jesus loved unconditionally, failed Jesus when he denied that he knew Jesus when Jesus was arrested. And they said to Peter, "Peter, you know this man that we're going to crucify." And he said, "Oh, no, I don't know him." And he denied Christ. And as a result, Peter's shame was crushing. So after Jesus died and he rose again, he appeared to shameful Peter, who was fishing at Capernaum. And Jesus was in his resurrected body, and this discussion went on. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you agape love me?" That's the word that's in the original language. "Do you agape love me more than these?" What are the "these"? Well, there's all kinds of interesting things and commentaries about what "these" refer to. But what he's referring to is tilapia fish. He's cooking breakfast, and in the very context of this very paragraph, Jesus is cooking fish for breakfast. Jesus has died. He's resurrected. He's in his new body, and he sees Peter out in the boat. He said, "Peter, come in here." And Peter comes. And when he gets to the shore, Jesus is cooking breakfast, tilapia fish. And Jesus asked him the question, oddly, "Peter, do you love me more than these tilapia?" That's literally what's going on here. And Peter says, if you'll notice in the text, "You know, Lord, that I phileo you." Do you notice this is a different word for love? It's not the same word that Jesus asked. "You know, Lord, that I phileo you." Jesus did not challenge him. He simply said, "Oh, you love me with a higher, more fulfilled love, a more mature love, huh? Well, then feed my sheep." Interesting. "Feed my lambs." And verse 16 says, Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you agape love me?" He asked him the second time. This is kind of a very soft challenge to be asked the same question again. And Jesus said, "Do you agape love me, Peter?" And Peter, of course, replies, "Yes, Lord, you know I phileo love you. I love you with an even greater love than what you're asking me." Interesting that Peter doesn't answer the question that Jesus asked. It's a ploy that we often use to change the subject. Peter is being asked by Jesus, "Do you unconditionally love me?" And Peter's saying, "Oh yeah, Lord, I'm more than that. I love you like a brother. I phileo love you, Lord." And so Jesus answers the same thing. "Well, if you family love me, if you love me like a brother, and we're all shepherds, then take care of my sheep." Jesus said a third time to him, "Simon, son of John, do you indeed phileo me? Do you Philadelphia me?" And Peter was hurt. Did you notice that in the text? Peter was hurt. He got his feelings hurt. Jesus hurt his feelings. "Faithful are the wounds of a brother." Got his feelings hurt. Because Jesus asked him that again a third time. And he answered, Peter answered, Lord, you know everything. You know that I really do phileo you. And Jesus said, then I tell you again, go feed my sheep. Jesus did not call Peter to be a fisher of tilapia. You remember that Jesus had already said to Peter many months ago, he has said to Peter, upon you, Peter, I will build my church. But what did Peter do as soon as Jesus is gone? He goes back to fishing. Jesus is saying this paragraph that we're studying right now, that Peter, I didn't call you to be a fisherman. I called you to be a sheep herder, a pastor, to take care of people, my sheep. Well, Peter felt so guilty that he tried to claim a greater love, and he didn't want Jesus saying that it's only a first grade love that he has for him. He told Jesus that he loved him with an advanced love, a phileo love, and he was saying to Jesus that he loved him in a family way, not just in an unconditional, common way. And so Jesus said to him, if you love me in a family way, then act like it and take up your role in the family and do pastoring work instead of fishing work. But what I have created you to be, that's what you ought to be doing, what I created you to be. I didn't create you to be a fisherman. I created you to be a pastor. And I've been building this in your life. Take up your role and take up your responsibilities. Now, parents, what's the lesson here? Well, first of all, when your children become Christians and the Holy Spirit comes inside your children, then you begin to teach them how to love unconditionally. That's love number one. That's first grade love. And then you build upon that second grade love or a more advanced love, which is phileo love. Now, I hope you understand that this is exactly what Jesus is doing. He's showing a common love that all Christians have. I remember when I became a believer, I was 16 years old. And I had gone to church with these people in a little country church. And I wasn't all that fond of these people because, well, I knew them too well, quite frankly. And I remember that when I received Christ one night at church, and I finally bowed and asked Jesus for the gift of eternal life, when I got up off my knees, I respected all these people. And furthermore, I really, honestly, seriously, to my shock, loved all these people. I just had this warm family love that began in me, but I unconditionally loved them. Now, you have seen the most fundamental godly loves, the two fundamental. But there are three more in the Bible, and they are more advanced loves. The learning lover of God adds to agape and phileo another love called storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, storge. Storge love is belonging love. At your house, who goes to the refrigerator, opens the door, and rummages through the refrigerator to get whatever she or he wants? If you have guests at your house, it's very unlikely they're going to do that because they're not home. But the people who live there, they have the liberty to do that, and everyone does it. This is belonging love feeling. I belong here. This is part of me, and I'm part of it. I'm home. When new people come to Beulah, I often say to them, and you've probably heard me say this, I'm glad that you're here today. Kick off your shoes and make yourself at home. And if you've ever been around me when I talk to new people come in, I very often say that to people. I'm glad you're here today. Welcome. Kick off your shoes and make yourself at home. Why do I do that? Because I want them to feel the sense of belonging of being here. We're not aloof from them. They're not strangers. I'm expressing storge love for them. I am saying that I want you to feel at home here, and that kind of advanced love can only be offered after unconditional love is offered, after family love is learned and established. Now, if you are a responsible family member, you have a role of work to do. Parents, teach your children that they have work to do. Part of being a part of our family is you have a role. You have work to do. I do work. You do work. We share in the work. We don't expect three-month-old babies to work, do we? But as people grow, they grow also in love. And what that means is they add to the responsibility. Everyone in the family is given a job by God, in your nuclear family and in the church family. It is abnormal for people to come to church and just sit and occupy a seat. What is normal is that you take up responsibility because you have a sense of belonging here. We unconditionally love you, you're part of our family, and because you belong here, you have a certain role to play. This should be taught at your home. Belonging love is saying, we have your back. And along with work and responsibility, storge has benefits. And the benefits is, we're on your side. You're part of our family. We'll take care of you. You take care of us, we take care of you. There's a mutual relationship. First grade love, agape love, means I unconditionally accept you. Everyone, universally. And it's a very wide acceptance because it's to the entire population of the world. But it narrows in its scope as you go up these loves. Because phileo love is only extended to people you consider to be in your family. That's a more narrow love. And then when you come to storge love, that belonging love, it's narrowed even more. Because only so many people can you give belonging love to. Well, I want you to notice what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. A very interesting verse. Because this verse uses two of those Greek words that I've been telling you about. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. There's the word Philadelphia. With brotherly love. In honor, giving preference. Now that word, giving preference, is one word in the original language. But it's a combination word. It's a combination between phileo and storge. They are crammed together into a combined word. And so it is saying in the Bible that we should give honor, giving preference to one another. In other words, you're in my family. I'm part of you. We have a sense of belonging. And that's the way the church ought to be, that we prefer one another. Yeah, there's only one ice cream bar left in the refrigerator, but you can have it because I prefer you. In the church, people squabble. In an immature church, people squabble because they want their own preference. They want their own way. But you see, when we learn to love, we say, it doesn't have to be my way. It can be your way. It's okay because I prefer you. That's exactly what this verse is saying. In honor, giving preference to one another. And that giving preference is squeezing those two love words together. You belong here, but not only do you belong here, oh, you're my brother or sister in Christ. Added to those three words that I've told you already is another love. It's called eros love. The Greeks debased that word eros to come to mean a sexual erotica. The word eros originally in the Greek culture meant to treasure or to safeguard. We have someone at Beulah that we highly treasure. His name is Linville Mays. You know him, right? We highly treasure him. He has been at Beulah his entire life. And he's special. He's 99 years old. And if we were Catholics, and some of us are, we would say that he's becoming a saint. He's so special. And he's very special to us at Beulah. But being evangelicals, we simply call him our treasure. We Eros Linville Mays. We revere him like no other person. We even have a special title for him. He's a deacon emeritus. And that's a special title of honor that we've given him. But I tell you, he earned it. He raised his children here before many of your parents were even born. And some of your grandparents. He's been contributing to this church family for decades, multiplied. He helped buy this property that we enjoy. He carted our Beulah kids to ball games and church functions since the Great Depression. We Eros Linville Mays. He is a Beulah treasure. You see, that's the fourth kind of love. And then there's a fifth kind of love, epipatheo, and it means intense passion or desire. At Beulah, we have a passion for Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. We treasure Linville, but we epipatheo Jesus. We worship him. This is the word used in the Greek version of Psalm 42:1. This is the verse. As the deer pants, and the word there, pants, is epipatheo. As the word pants for water, it intensely desires water. So my soul epipatheo you, Lord. This is worship. Parents, pray with your child to receive Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can come into your child, because divine love is not possible without the Holy Spirit. You cannot learn to love the way God loves if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart. And then your child can learn these progressive grades of love. This is the whole of the Christian life. This is the purpose and goal of Christian parenting. So I plead with you, do it faithfully, do it methodically, do it intentionally, so that you and your children together can grow more and more in Christ Jesus and experience and give that kind of love. Now, my question is, will you help me teach this? Will you help me teach this? You teach it at home. You teach it here in children's church. When we disciple one another, this is what we're teaching people. First, we teach people how to respect. Many people who come into our church family are so burnt out and so angry at either family members or the government or the school that they no longer respect. We have to first of all teach people to respect before we can ever teach them love. Respect means that you highly value those in authority. So parents, you have to teach your children to respect you. They don't know how. It doesn't come automatically in the package. It has to be taught. And then upon that, if the Holy Spirit is there and you take the Word of God and you patiently begin to teach them what love is unconditional giving, unconditional acceptance. It doesn't matter where people have been when they come into this building. It does not matter one bit where they've been. We accept them. We love them. And then we add to that phileo, family love. And then after we get there, then we add to that storge love. You belong here. You're a part of us. You're just as much a part of us as anybody else here. And we teach them that. And then we show them Eros love, how they treasure other people and treasure one another, and they're treasured. And then we teach them about really worshiping God. Really worshiping God. Well, will you teach this to your children? Will you teach that to other people? Because the thing that will make us a mature church is that we learn to love like this. Whereby people will know that you are my followers, my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's the badge. It's the credential. It's what really matters. It doesn't matter how many theology degrees you have. It doesn't matter what kind of work you do. The real question is, do you love one another? That's the real question. So given that, let's sing It Is Well With My Soul. And those of you who are singers, thank you so much. It is well with my soul. And we can all sing this together. If you're home, you can sing right along with us. Let's start up. We're going to sing together, It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well.
So it is well.
Let's pray together and we'll close. Father in heaven, thank you that you love us, that the very definition and essence of your character is love. We're not, Lord, followers of after those other gods that espouse fear and hate, but you are love. Now, Lord, teach us to love. Teach us to teach our children to love. Teach us to love one another. Lord, you commanded that we would love you back, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you have commanded, Lord, that we would love our neighbor as ourself. So, Lord, help us to have eyes to see the people around us in our neighborhood, people that we know have needs. Send us, Lord, to be the caretaker, the caregiver of those needs, so that we might be like Jesus. Bless our families, Lord. Keep us. Thank you, Lord, that this will soon pass, this pandemic that we're going through. And thank you, Lord, you have a purpose in it, and you are accomplishing your purpose. Bless our church family, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go love.